Hello, Disney fans, and welcome to the show. My name is Austin Terrace, and I'm joined here today by my two wonderful sisters, Kylie.
Hey, everybody.
And Emma.
Hi, everyone.
Coming up on this episode of Disney Daydream, Disney's Magical Express service will be discontinued in 2022. Disneyland is ending their annual pass holder program. An early theme park entry will replace extra magic hours at Disney World. Later on, we'll discuss our favorite and least favorite Pixar shorts. So, take a little break in your busy day, and let's start daydreaming. Thank you for bearing with us an extra week. We know you had to wait a little longer for this episode. Emma had a whole slew of college auditions. I had the microphones kind of occupied doing a recording project, so it was just not going to happen last week. Our apologies, but we think this one's going to be really entertaining for you today. Make sure that you follow us on social media. We're on Instagram at DizDaydream, Disney Daydream Podcast on Facebook. You can always email us at disdaydream@gmail.com. And if you want to become a patron of our show, head on over to patreon.com/disneydaydream. We offer our patrons special perks for financially supporting our show, and we have some tiers starting as low as $3 a month. Just a reminder, our show is sponsored by our wonderful patrons and Daydream Travel Agency, your experts at planning the perfect trip to Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney, or Aulani. Head on over to daydreamtravelagency.com for more information, to request a quote on any of those trips, or to utilize free vacation planning services. All right, I'm worried about these news stories, all three of them. Really bother me. They just frustrate me to no end. So I'll probably start ranting before this is over. First, let's just hop into the first disappointing one. What a terrible couple of weeks for Disney news. So Disney's Magical Express, the shuttle service that transported guests from the Orlando airport to their Disney World resort and back free of charge, will end on January 1st, 2022. DME was launched in 2005, and it proved to be a very popular perk for guests choosing to stay on Disney property during their vacation. Walt Disney World released a statement regarding the cancellation, and I quote, "Vacationers have more options to choose from than ever before for transportation, including rideshare services that save time and offer more flexibility to go where they want, when they want. In light of this shift, when Disney Resort hotel bookings open for stays in 2022, we will no longer offer Disney's Magical Express service for airport transportation, starting with arrivals on January 1st, 2022. We will continue to operate the service for new and existing reservations made at Disney Resort hotels for arrivals throughout 2021. Additionally, complimentary transportation options such as buses, monorails, and Disney Skyliner will continue to be available within Walt Disney World Resort for guests, including to and from all four theme parks. So this service has been operated by Mears Transportation since its inception, and they've also released a statement signaling that they plan to continue to offer transportation options from the airport to the resorts and theme parks. But it's just kind of unclear whether or not they can still use those iconic buses. I'm not sure if that's actually owned through their own fleet or if that's part of Disney's fleet of buses that they have. And almost certainly that service would now come at a cost for guests. Besides saving money in the short term, really no part of this decision makes any sense to me. DME was so popular, and it's It's such a wonderful perk for staying on property. You don't need to worry about your luggage or any of the usual hassle that comes with dealing with airport transportation. But I think my favorite part about Magical Express is that it kind of solidifies the Disney bubble. Without it, I mean, you can't really have a full Disney bubble. It makes a Disney World trip completely immersive because the second you walk off of that plane, your vacation starts. If you don't want to, you don't have to do anything outside of Disney property. And I don't know about you guys, but I loved the anticipation of like getting to that line, that area at the bottom of the airport, and hopping on that bus and watching the informational video as you're traveling to your resort. I understand that it's been just an absolutely horrible year for the company, and that if they have to continue to operate the buses with social distancing and running them at limited capacity, then that's going to incur a higher cost. But like, they can't even offer this for a fee, you know, like it's just going away for good. Like there's no alternative. It's not ideal, but I would certainly be willing to pay in order to maintain that Disney bubble, not have to think about that baggage and not have to rent a car or order an Uber. And I don't care what their statement says, ordering yourself an Uber is not part of a vacation experience. That's not enhancing your trip, hopping into an Uber because it provides, I guess, more convenience for you. No, you have to pay for it. It doesn't provide any more convenience. It's another app you have to hop on.
And they're extremely expensive most of the time.
Yeah, like, also, I feel like that's weird to have a bunch of Ubers going on to Disney property.
And Ubers with families are really hard if you're traveling with luggage, because usually you have to get two if you have a family of our size, because everyone has a full-size suitcase with them. And
yeah, the Orlando airport isn't super far away, but it's still like a decent trip. It's not a super cheap ride in an Uber. So I think all Disney is doing in the long term here is encouraging off-property activities. They're encouraging people to stay off property by eliminating another perk. They're encouraging them to eat off property, to shop off property, even, you know, to stop by the grocery store on their way to their resort and do less, you know, food court dining. It just doesn't make sense. And I hated their statement so much. They're treating us like we're stupid. It's like they're framing it in a way that they're doing us a favor. You have so many options now in 2021. All these like convenient options at your disposal. People don't want to do this anymore. No, people want to do this. This is a really popular option. And it's just like to save some pennies in the short term. Like they shouldn't be treating it like they're doing us a huge favor. It's just more that we have to think about in terms of our trip. And renting a car is super expensive. Driving your car down there now is expensive because they're raking it in for resort parking fees, because yeah, you can't keep your car there for free anymore.
Well, and another thing about encouraging off-property activities, I know there have been vacations where we've wanted to go to Universal mostly to see Harry Potter World, and we're like, okay, but how do we get there? You know, it's like always
such a good point. Now it's a lot easier to get there.
Yeah, it's like, well, if I have to rent a car to get to the resort anyway, we might as well split our time between Disney and Universal, because now we have a way to get there that's easy and convenient, and we're already paying for the car. I don't know. I don't think this is a good decision at all. Do you know how this impacts the cruise line shuttle?
No, that's still up in the air, but I have to believe that that's still going to operate.
Because that's a really long ride. That would not be a cheap ride.
Yeah, that wouldn't make any sense.
No, they have to get people out there in an easy way. A lot of the cruise lines do something like this, so I don't feel like that's going away, and that's completely a different part of the company as well.
Got it.
So this is not canceling the cruise line transportation. Now, there is some talk of a partnership between Disney and Brightline to create a high-speed train track that links Orlando to Miami. Theoretically, there will be a stop at Disney Springs, but if that is going to be like the future of how people get from the airport onto property, then Disney should be more forthcoming with that information. They should provide us with some solid details about that. They just can't continue to take things away, expecting us to pay the same price and be completely fine with it without offering some type of alternative that enhances your trip. So that was disappointing. A lot of people are also disappointed about the story Kylie is going to bring up now on the other side of the country over at Disneyland.
Yeah, so some sad news for the people out in California. While the California theme parks remain closed indefinitely, they have decided to cancel the annual pass holder program. President of Disneyland Ken Patrick released this statement. We want to thank our annual pass holders for their understanding during this closure period. Due to the continued uncertainty of the pandemic and limitations around the reopening of our California theme parks, we will be issuing appropriate refunds for eligible Disneyland Resort annual passports and sunsetting the current program. We are currently developing new membership offerings that will utilize consumer insights to deliver choice, flexibility, and value for our biggest fans. So a few of the questions Disney executives are considering to help develop these new offerings are, what do people want in this new world? When do they want to access our parks? How frequently do they want to access our parks? With what level of spontaneity and with what level of value? Any annual pass holder who had an active pass as of March 14th, 2020 will still be able to receive discounts on merchandise, food, and beverages at open locations in downtown Disney and Buena Vista Street. But this is just really sad news. And kind of like what you said, Austin, about the Magical Express, I wish they would have solidified what their new membership offerings were going to be before announcing that they were just canceling the program altogether. Like, we don't know what we're getting. And we've talked about this before. Disneyland is such a locals park that the annual passes are huge there. So
yeah, something has to replace this.
Yeah.
So for sure. Having no details must be really frustrating to their fans. And this is signaling the end for the Premier Passport program as well. Those are the people that take so many trips to Disney. They want an annual pass for Walt Disney World and Disneyland. So that is also ending with this announcement. I don't think offering more choices is necessarily bad, but not being more forthcoming about the details is incredibly frustrating. I hope people are saving the latest pricing information, because let me tell you, whatever they offer, you know it's going to cost more. They're not going to be offering any types of deals. There's not going to be any value with what comes next. If you want the same thing, apples to apples, when this next round of whatever the annual pass holder thing is going to be, you're going to be paying more for it. So I'll like eat my hat if if you can save money on this next thing. I just don't see that happening. And yeah, a lot of people are very confused and angry and sad. And I hate to keep the bad news coming, but there's another poor announcement that we have to cover next. So Emma, why don't you lead us into this next story?
So unfortunately, when Disney World started its phased reopening, Extra Magic Hours did not come back. And it now seems that this perk is not going to come back at all. And even if it does, it will probably look a lot different than it was before the pandemic. Something called Resort Guest Early Entry is going to be replacing Extra Magic Hours indefinitely. This new perk allows Disney Resort hotel guests and guests of other select hotels to enter any park 30 minutes early every day. It's pretty crazy, honestly, when you think about it. I'm not really sure how I feel about it yet. At first, it definitely seems like a downgrade because Extra Magic Hours are at least one extra hour, either in the morning or at night in the park. But this new thing is every single day. An extra 30 minutes of park time before the parks open will definitely provide a great opportunity to maximize your time. And I can imagine it would be extremely beneficial in some of the newer lands like Pandora and Galaxy's Edge. But from the sounds of it, it's like basically everyone can get it. It says all Disney Resort hotels and like other select hotels, so it's like, so everyone.
The good neighbor hotels.
Yeah, those usually refer to the ones near downtown Disney that aren't Disney resorts, but they're still on Disney property. Usually. Yeah.
I mean, I have stronger feelings about this because anybody who has ever rope dropped a park before knows that you can already get into a park 30 minutes early.
Yeah.
This is the most insulting announcement of all. They're acting like this didn't exist before. This is something that already exists. This isn't a new thing. This isn't a new announcement. And they're trying to act like they're creating value here when you could do this anyway. You don't need to be a resort guest. You can get into the park 30 minutes early anytime you want.
You can be off of a ride before park opens, technically.
Yeah.
If you do it well.
And I know that things have changed slightly with the pandemic, but it's like they're just returning to normal. Extra magic hours are gone. There's nothing replacing it. This does not replace it. Going back to something that existed before that didn't have a name, you can't just create a fake name for it and act like it's new.
Yeah, 30 minutes is just not enough time to be a perk.
Yeah, I mean, right, like the thing it might help with is getting in, physically getting into the park, but we already do that. And also, their announcement was so weird. It's just like the other ones where they're acting like this is a favor for you. The announcement says, according to Disney, the new early theme park entry benefit helps them better spread visitation across all four theme parks while providing added flexibility by giving guests extra early park time on each day of their vacation and in the park of their choosing.
I don't really get that because we already know Hollywood Studios is a park that fills up with reduced capacity.
Yeah.
I mean, all the other three, until you're a week or two out, you can make a reservation there. It's like they can already spread that out.
Yeah, I don't get that.
I would say, though, before the pandemic, I understand because we always tried to avoid parks with extra magic hours because the crowds are a lot higher on days where there were extra magic hours. But again, that doesn't really apply anymore to the current situation of the parks. And even if they were going to do that, they would have to extend it for more than 30 minutes for it to be significant. I don't know.
Here's my question.
It's still not a benefit.
I have a question. So because of this, since the parks will be kind of opening 30 minutes earlier, would we be able to rope drop those 30 minutes and get in an hour earlier?
Maybe.
Good question. Is that going to be the new unofficial thing?
Like,
maybe that's what it will evolve into.
We will show up at 6 a.m. I also, though, like, my favorite extra magic hours were the nighttime extra magic hours.
Yeah. Sure.
Because of the rope dropping concept. Even with the park opening early, it still fills up so fast because people are getting there early, and to diffuse the crowds at the gate, they have to let people through. That's just what they have to do. At night, it's already low crowds because not all young families can stay for the nighttime shows. And then you have time after that where it's basically empty.
Yeah.
Like, those were the ones that really had value, in my opinion. Not the opening early situation. Yeah. It was the staying open late.
And yeah. Knowing you could already get in early, and then at the end, you can hit the stuff that you didn't hit or that you really want to do a second time because you've already had your day and it's just leftover extra time.
Mm-hmm. Well, and especially with the amended park hours right now, like, how cool would that be if you could? I mean, that would be an awesome perk if whatever they close at like 7 or something like that, you can stay until 8 or 9. And like, I don't know, I feel like that would have been exciting for me. But
also, a lot of people don't go into the park when it opens. There are a lot of people that do, but people that are a bit older and more like relaxed with their Disney vacations than us, they wait until the afternoon to go in. So this really just, they could use the extra magic hours at night, but this isn't going to do anything for them. Like,
yep, good point. And I just feel like Disney's shooting themselves in the foot here with all of the things that have been taken away. Like, if we just made a list of it, no more complimentary magic bands If you want your souvenir luggage tag, you have to go to your resort front desk and ask for it now. They don't send it to you. Still no FastPass Plus. Still no word about what's happening with the dining plan. Now no extra magic hours and no more Magical Express service. It just, the list goes on and on. Like, and I'm so frustrated even as like the travel agent side. How do I sell the Disney package anymore? Mm-hmm. How do I make the case that there's value there? Because let me tell you, there, right off property, you have a Four Seasons, Waldorf Astoria, and a JW Marriott. If you're going for luxury that's still not as pricey as the deluxe resorts, that's what you go to.
Right, yeah.
You book those deluxe resorts because you get some added perks and some theming with it. Now it's like these resorts, you have the theming, and you're going to pay a heck of a lot for it. There's nothing else in terms of value and bonuses that you're getting. So I feel like long term, it's just a losing strategy. But I think they're banking on people just accepting it.
Yeah, and it's really sad because I know that none of this, I don't think, would have happened without the pandemic. But, and I know that Disney has to be really struggling to like keep up financially. But at the same time, like, this is a short term thing. Like, things will go back to normal. And when we go back to normal, like, what is that going to look like for Disney? Is there, are they going to continue with this lackluster experience, or are these things going to come back? It's really like a dreary outlook right now for Disney fans, because the reason you go to Disney is because it's so superior to everything else.
Right, yeah.
But that's starting to fade, and people, like, Disney's hurting economically, but like, so is the rest of the country. And so if you're not getting that like elite vacation experience where everything you could think of is taken care of, you're not going to be able to afford these prices, that, because it's not like cost has come down.
No.
So.
Right.
No, not at all. It looks like we might see increases possibly. So it's just a mess. It was a lot of disappointing news, and we're sorry that we had to be kind of a bummer about it. But I think the hardcore Disney fans just need to continue to be vocal about these things and not just accept it sitting down. I want to experience as many Disney resorts as I can. But, you know, if these things don't come back, I'm certainly going to look at the off-property options and the Good Neighbor hotels. There's no reason not to anymore.
Yeah.
So we're going to end, though, with hopefully a more happy and fun discussion. Today, our topic is about the best and worst Pixar shorts. So that is coming right up. So we had a previous episode where we talked about our favorite and least favorite Pixar movies. Today we're covering the shorts, and these animated shorts sometimes don't get enough love. When you're creating a short, you're telling a compelling story in a compressed amount of time, and every second of what you do matters. And these can really tug at your heartstrings. I know for the last few years, before we watched the Oscars, we've been watching the live action and animated shorts, and that's one of my favorite movie moments of the year, because so many of them tell incredible stories and you really get in touch with the characters in a short amount of time. And Pixar overall has done a great job over the years at making some really incredible shorts. And there have been a few that have been not so good. I would say maybe even especially recently after the creation of Disney Plus, because they've been making a lot. Some of them are fantastic. Others seem like they're a little rushed, maybe. So we're going to talk about our least favorite Pixar shorts first. So Emma, why don't you start us off?
Okay. So my second to least favorite short is Pearl. So here's a little description, just warning you, there are a lot of puns here. All right. An earnest ball of yarn named Pearl gets a job at a fast-paced startup. Things start to unravel as she tries to fit in with this close-knit group. Knit spelled like K-N-I-T. Jeez. And if you thought that was stupid, yeah, the actual short is also stupid.
Knit would always be spelled K-N-I-T, but that's still funny.
Oh, yeah, you're right. So I feel like the intentions of this short were good, but what on earth is that, you know? I think they were really trying to challenge sexism or something, but honestly, it felt really sexist to me. First of all, toxic masculinity. The men were all portrayed as loud sports fans who really look down on women.
And are incredibly aggressive.
Really aggressive. It's...
Yeah, bros? What is the company name? It's Bro...
It's B-R-O Capital.
Bro Capital.
Yeah, like... So, yeah, and then that brings us to our next problem, which is why were the women literally balls of yarn? Like, every single girl in this short is a ball of yarn that we see. And what is that? Like, all... men are businessmen and all women are yarn, or like all women like knitting. I don't know. I just thought it was really weird.
The symbolism that they were going for there just does not.
No, they're using hit. Like outdated stereotypes. It's so weird.
There was a comment made about like being soft. So then I was like, okay, so are you trying to portray women being soft?
Yeah.
Or maybe that's just, that was like the men's perception of women.
Yeah.
Like that's through their eyes, they see women as soft and, you know, malleable things. But I agree that the execution probably wasn't there.
Yeah, for sure. And don't get me wrong, like there are good aspects of it. The overall message is good. I think it's kind of about like not changing yourself to fit in. Because at one point, Pearl knits herself to look like all of the businessmen so she can, like, you know, be one of the guys. But
the ironic part to me about that is that that's when she was accepted. Like, had she not changed herself to be like the men, she wouldn't have been accepted. Yeah, at the end, she was able to, like, unchange herself. Mm-hmm. But that's only because she had... changed herself to be initially accepted.
Right.
Like, I feel like it kind of showed the opposite of what it was trying to show.
Yeah.
At least from my interpretation.
Act like one of the guys so you can get in with their group and apparently you can change them from within. Like, there was no progress in terms of the male characters in there. They didn't really apologize. It seemed like...
Yeah.
It was just very strange. But suddenly she appeared to... be in her normal ball of yarn form. And I guess they had a really healthy workplace after that. But we didn't see any of that actually happen.
So yeah, like a potentially good message, but the message is conveyed through very extreme gender stereotypes. And also, it's not like this is a really old short at all. It was made in 2018.
Yeah.
Like, by the description and like what it actually, like what the content is, it's like... oh, that's probably from, like, I don't know, like a decade ago. No.
A couple years.
Well, everything is just so, like, on the nose, too. Like, they were just, like you said, just the extreme of the stereotypes. It's like, this could have been played down a lot more. Like, the company didn't have to be called Bro Capital. Like... it just felt very, like...
there were no subtle moments at
all.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. It was like... hey, this is what you're supposed to get out of it. Very in your face, but none of it made sense, so it didn't work.
Right. And your least favorite short.
I kind of, like, cheated the system here, but My least favorite short is every single Cars spinoff short. I can't even handle these. It might be partially because of growing up watching Disney Channel when these would come on constantly, but I just hate them. First of all, there are way too many. There are two Cars shorts that aren't part of actual shorts series. Yes, it's like an entire TV series, but just of car shorts. And there are two of those series. Disney calls these Cars Tunes. And the first series is Mater's Tall Tales, which contains 11 different shorts. And when I tell you that every one of them is the same, I literally mean that every one of them is exactly the same. Yes, there are different stories every time, but the format of all of these shorts are exactly the same. In every single short, Mater tells this insane story to some cars, and then Lightning McQueen, ka-chow, interrupts and says something like, "Wait, wait, wait, that never happened." And then Mater says, "Well, of course it did, buddy. You were there too." And then, like, it cuts back to the story, and Lightning McQueen is suddenly there, and it makes no sense. I mean, I haven't seen any of these in like a decade, but because they play constantly, I can literally hear the dialogue in my head. So, and then the other series was Tales from Radiator Springs, and that one has 4 shorts, and honestly, I don't remember it that well. So, let's just call Mater's Tall Tales my least favorite shorts.
And it may seem like we're harsh on the Cars franchise. If you remember our Pixar movies episode, the Cars movies were at the bottom of that list as well. But like Cars, the movie, the first one, was a good movie. Like I actually enjoy the first Cars. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Then it just got so extreme. And this Cars is the definition of like milking money out of a franchise.
Yep.
And that's what I find so frustrating about it, because.
And it's going to be the future of Toy Story too.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Oh, for sure. Toy Story is definitely getting like that.
Like people say Frozen was overdone, but like to be honest, like.
No, it wasn't.
No. There's a couple like Olaf shorts and then. The two movies, but like Cars, it's just endless. You can find endless Cars content.
Yeah, I'm glad I haven't seen any of these because I know I would hate them.
You would.
But
they're so bad. And also they have the same exact characters in every single one. They're just like decorated differently. Oh my gosh. It's so bad.
All right. Cars can just go and drive away somewhere. Kylie, what are your least favorite shorts?
So my second to the bottom is a short called Knickknack, and the description of this short is life on a shelf as a snowman trapped in a snow globe blizzard can become wearing, especially when you're surrounded by knickknacks from sunnier locales. When the jaded snowman finally breaks free of his glass house, his vacation plans are cut short. And this short just didn't age well. It was made in 1989, so for the time, the computer animation was obviously revolutionary. We can't really harp on the animation because it was definitely pioneering in the field. But unfortunately, you just like really need to appreciate that to make this a good short. The story was just uninteresting. There really wasn't a story. The characters were uninteresting. You don't connect with them at all. The parts that were supposed to be funny, the humor just didn't land for me. And I also just could not stand the musical score of this short either. I really did not enjoy the music. Really nothing was positive for me about this short. And when you have something where the animation already looks bad because it's so old at this point, like you need to have a really strong story there for it to remain relevant. And that just was not the case with this one.
Yeah, it's basically a snowman who is, I want to keep it kid friendly, but he's, you know, having some physical feelings for this very attractive beach.
Busty doll.
Yeah, busty doll. That's a good way of putting it. So, yeah, story, not a strong point. I'm not going to hate on Bobby McFerrin, who created the music for that one. It was a little much. He's a legend, though. So
that was Bobby McFerrin?
Yeah.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
Not my favorite of his work.
Yeah. He's done some better things in his time. And then your least favorite.
So my least favorite is the short called Lifted. When an overconfident teen alien gets behind the controls of a spaceship, he must attempt to abduct a slumbering farmer under a critical instructor's watchful eye. But abducting humans requires precision and a gentle touch, and within a few missteps, it's painfully clear why more humans don't go missing every year. This short was really disappointing for me because it's not that old, and Pixar is so good at creating like the heart and soul behind a short. And this just does not have that. I feel like this one was supposed to be comedic and I did not find it funny. It was very like DreamWorks humor, if you will. Like at one point you see the farmer's butt crack because his pants get pulled down a little. It's just like
back at the farm. Barnyard? What is that?
Yeah.
Back at the Barnyard. That one move. That's not a movie. It was like a show.
You don't connect to the characters, and I just was not at all invested in the story. And with these shorts, I mean, a lot of the time, obviously, Disney Plus is a little different now, but you go to see a new Pixar movie, and the short comes first. And honestly, if this was to play in the theater, I would be like, seriously, let's just get to the movie.
No, this, this was before Ratatouille.
Yeah.
So sad. Oh, what a turnaround, though, introducing such a great movie. But yeah, I don't care for this either. And it's like the same joke over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a repetition of the same thing. Not great. All right. My second to least favorite is one of the new Spark short series animated shorts called Smash and Grab. So here's the description. After spending years working inside of an engine room of a towering locomotive, two antiquated robots will risk everything for freedom and for each other.
Cute.
Let me tell you though, what they're actually risking is their lives for is a chance to high five one another.
Oh my gosh.
Because so yeah, I just couldn't understand or follow what was going on here. Like, the two robots start by playing some form of catch in the engine room, and then they get upset and kind of sad when they spot other robots outside of the train going and giving each other high fives. They attempt a high five, but their tethers won't reach far enough, so they plan to escape from the locomotive. And for some reason, like, there's a whole host of guard robots that are really upset and don't want them to leave. So they attempt to chase him and shoot him down. I don't want to completely spoil the ending, but, you know, they eventually manage to get their high five. But it is just so unsatisfying, really. It's I just didn't care for this at all. And also, the animation quality was not great. And it was made in 2019. If you had told me that this was made in 2008, I would have believed you. Like, it was old. It felt old. There were a couple cool moments and then a couple that was like, ooh, they really pushed this project through in like a month.
Yeah. That's disappointing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then on the other end of the spectrum, my least favorite has to be Red's Dream. This is from 1987, one of the OGs. So I know I'm being a little harsh. Here's the description. A forgotten unicycle in a bicycle shop pretends that he's the star of the circus. When his juggling act is over, the sound of applause turns into the sound of rainfall, and he's brought back to reality.
Oh my gosh. Sad.
Like Kylie mentioned, obviously the animation was good for its time, so I can't knock it for that. But there is one overwhelming reason why I hate this short. When the unicycle begins to daydream about being a star in the circus, the most terrifying clown I've ever seen starts riding this unicycle. This thing is more scary than Pennywise from It, It's enough to give you nightmares for weeks. And this isn't necessarily bad, but like the description says, this short ends on a really sad, depressing note. Basically, the poor unicycle wheels itself back to its sad corner and starts crying again. I'm not even joking. It's horribly depressing. It makes you want to go to the shop and just buy it and give it a good home.
Aww.
So there you have it. Red's Dream. If you want a depressing 4 minutes, go ahead and watch.
Gosh. Isn't that funny how short the old ones are?
Yeah, 3 minutes, 4 minutes. I noticed that with Knick Knack.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, this is done already.
Definitely not focused on storytelling, as we've seen. I think it was really about just getting the technical side done.
Yeah.
And being like, hey, we can do this now. We just animated this on a computer.
Yep.
Let's get into the top choices. And I'm sure our listeners will be happy to know we have no repeats this time.
Woohoo!
We've all chosen different favorite shorts. No, we did not plan it that way. It happened organically. And Emma, you're going to start us off again. So why don't you do your second favorite?
All right. So my second favorite short is Loop. Basically, here's the description. Two kids at a canoe camp find themselves adrift on a lake, unable to move forward until they find a new way to connect and see the world through each other's eyes. This short is really heartwarming, and it includes Disney's first character, Renee, who is nonverbal and has autism. And I love the way this was made and how it tries to show the world through the lens of someone with autism. And it also shows the connection between Renee and Marcus, a young boy who does not really understand what it's like to have autism. And at first, it's really hard for them to connect because Marcus just doesn't really understand. But eventually, they do end up connecting, and I think it's really cool to see like how Marcus is like recognizing Renee as someone like him, not that she's any lesser than him, you know. And that's a really important message because, you know, there's a lot of stigma surrounding autism, and I think it's important for younger kids especially to understand that everyone's brains are wired differently, and we're all human and we can all connect. So
parts of watching this short are really overwhelming. They do a good job of making the audience feel that sensory overload that Renee is experiencing. So that's really cool. It kind of puts you in her shoes in that way. Yeah. All right. Time for your absolute favorite.
My absolute favorite short is Out. Here's the description. On an average day, Greg's life is filled with family, love, and a rambunctious little dog. But despite all of this, Greg has a secret. Today is different, though. With some help from his precocious pup and a little bit of magic, Greg might learn that he has nothing to hide. So, I absolutely love this short. Greg is gay, and he hasn't told his parents. And I don't want to give away what happens. It's kind of crazy, honestly. But there's some magic and a dog involved, just like the description said. And I think it's really important for Disney to start producing stories like this. Coming out is a huge part of life for a lot of people. And it's important for people of all ages to be exposed to what that experience is like. And this is a pretty positive experience, but they did a really good job of showing how stressful and nerve-wracking this experience is, and they also did it in a way that a child can easily understand, just the way they approached the story and how they did make it, like, kind of whimsical and more abstract, but definitely kid-friendly. So yeah, I just really enjoyed it.
Well, and yeah, I like what you said about how it's more abstract. Like what we talked about with Pearl, they were trying to tackle this like difficult topic, but everything was like so in your face and so literal, I guess. And mm-hmm. I liked the creativity of taking this topic and putting it into a creative way that you can, like you said, kids can better understand
better understand, and I just like the more abstract approach.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Thanks for embracing a little bit of subtlety. I also love this short. All right, Kylie, let's hop into your top two.
This was very difficult for me. There are so many that I love, and I think it's so cool that even though we all chose different ones, there are still shorts on that were on my top list that aren't going to be mentioned. So I think that just says a lot about how great these shorts are. But I ultimately decided that Kitbull is my number two favorite. Kitbull is the story of an unlikely connection between two creatures, a fiercely independent stray kitten and a pit bull. Together, they experience friendship for the first time. The first thing I love about this short is the really unique animation style. They all look drawn with like
this chalk. Was all hand drawn. Yeah. So a real departure for Pixar.
Yeah. I like that different, more cartoon like take on the animation. The characters are also just so lovable. Like nothing makes me feel more sad than watching these two characters experience what they go through. I mean, how can you not just fall in love with this like sweet, innocent dog and this like tiny little kitten if you're an animal lover at all? It's just a heart-wrenching portrayal of animal abuse and what some animals experience out there. But then it has a really happy ending that turns it around and gives it a really positive spin. So I love shorts that make me feel the whole spectrum of emotions in such a short amount of time and with no words or dialogue. And this short is successful in doing that.
Definitely. I love how they address the pit bull situation specifically too.
Yeah.
Because pit bulls get such a bad rap and people talk about, you know, by nature, they're just aggressive and violent creatures. And this pushes back against that. Mm-hmm. And also the cat reminds me of my little small black kitten.
Yeah, I really like this too. I love cats and I love dogs too. And pit bulls, you know, pit bull owners are strong advocates for their dogs most of the time. Because they are some of the sweetest dogs, but everyone is afraid of them. So I think this is a creative way to shed some light on that.
Even my dog was sad when I was watching this short. He heard the dog whining and he ran over to the TV and was like trying to figure out what was going on.
Wow.
My first favorite short is Piper. Piper tells the story of a hungry sandpiper hatchling who ventures from her nest for the first time to dig for food by the shoreline. The only problem is the food is buried beneath the sand where scary waves roll up onto shore. This animation is beautiful. This is, I think, by far the most well done animation of a short. You can see literally each little grain of sand on the beach and watch it like move as the waves move. It's like really, the detail is just incredible. And it also is another short that makes me laugh, and I also cry just at how cute this little bird is that they've created. And like I said before, I love things that make me feel all of those different emotions, and when there's no dialogue, I think that's really special. The music in this is beautiful too, and I think that's a huge part of the storytelling, is the sound score. So they did a great job with that.
Yeah, here's an example of like something that's technically based, but it still has a really cool story attached with it. Yeah. It's like everything else came together. They weren't just focusing on producing a really beautiful piece of animation.
Right. It's like maybe they were showing off a little bit, like, hey, we can animate this realistically, but they didn't abandon the storyline. And yeah, it's so cute and beautiful, beautifully done.
Yep. My second favorite short is Lou. Here's the description. A toy-stealing bully ruins recess for a playground full of kids until a lost and found box named Lou teaches him a valuable lesson. First of all, I love the anthropomorphic character of Lou. He's made up of all of the items in the lost and found box, and he cleverly shapeshifts throughout the movie to best suit his needs. Lou has such an expressive face, even though it's made up of two baseballs and the hood of a sweatshirt. I just love like how you can see the emotion even through that. Really creative. And truly everything about this short is clever, down to the most particular details, like Lou even getting his name from the missing letters that are on the lost and found box. This short addresses the cliche that hurt people. And I think that's especially true of children a lot of the time. And we end up learning that the bully named JJ had actually been a victim of bullying himself a couple of years ago when an older kid stole his favorite toy. Fortunately, Lou finds that toy, but before giving it back, he makes JJ return all of the stolen items to their rightful owners. This is just really heartwarming, and it teaches us that during those times that we're hurting, we can redirect some of that hurt and anger into something positive. JJ eventually gets a lot of joy from returning the missing toys, but of course that means that Lou himself disappears once all of the items are back to their home. And this one, you know, left me in tears earlier this morning because it did remind me of some of my former students who just needed to be given some redirection, a classroom job, or just some special responsibility in order to manage their frustration. So I love Lou.
Yeah, this was in my top group that I was choosing from. I think when you work with kids, this story has a special place in your heart because it's so, it's just such a good message of not only for kids of like, don't bully, but also for adults that work with kids to like, look at the person doing the bullying and see why that might be taking place. You have to look deeper into what they're going through to really understand the child. So, yeah. Right.
It's like a story of empathy, you know, like looking into his past. And then, I mean, probably my favorite aspect of it was just how happy he got when he noticed that, like, the kids were like happy and like they appreciated him when he was giving their toys back. It was really cute. And he just some like acknowledgement, you know, makes like changes him.
Yeah. Well, and he realized that he went from isolation to like the kids wanting to play with him. And
yeah,
it can really change everything.
Right. And then my favorite is Bao. So this tells the story of a Chinese mother suffering from empty nest syndrome. After her son leaves home, she gets a second chance at motherhood when one of her dumplings springs to life. But nothing stays cute and small forever. I feel a personal connection to the story because it reminds me of the fleeting passage of time. And every year seems to just fly by faster. Sometimes it's hard to come to grips with the number of years that have passed and all the changes that have occurred over those years. And I'm a person, sometimes I like change, but often I don't. And the pivotal moment in the story when the mother ends up popping this dumpling that's come to life into her mouth to stop him from leaving home is just that last attempt to keep things the way that they are. Also, I love how food is animated here. You can so clearly tell that that is the aspect of the culture they're signaling in on, and it's done really beautifully. Even if you don't eat those types of foods, you feel like an automatic connection to that. And of course, this story has so many deep meanings, and I can't personally relate to the generational cultural struggles that the film is addressing, but I certainly know people close to me that can. One of the reasons why the short got so much attention when it came out was because these first-generation Americans saw parts of themselves in the son and dumplings character. There's often this clashing of American culture that prioritizes freedom and individuality with the culture of China here, which, along with many countries in Asia as well as Latin and South America, prioritizes collectivism and family. For those people, this short packs a real emotional punch, because the blending of cultures is really tricky, and it often leaves the children of immigrants feeling like they don't necessarily fit in either culture and that they don't have a place. I just love it so much because, you know, you end up feeling for both of the main characters. We understand the mom who wants to maintain a role as a caretaker, and we also understand the kid's desire to eventually forge his own path. But thankfully, they seem to find a happy medium at the end, and this has to be my favorite short.
It's so cute. Like, it is so cute. And sad, and it really is just a great story.
Well, this is one that my perspective on this short has changed so much from the first time we saw it. I remember sitting in the theater and this dumpling comes to life and I'm like, what is happening?
Yeah.
I'm like, this is like hilarious. Like that's, aw. And like, aw, how cute. Then it becomes like super emotional and you start to see like what this short is unpacking. And it's like such a heart-wrenching topic, and it's you start to feel so much more deeply for the characters, and I love how it has that two layers to it. Yes, it's kind of like a silly concept of food coming to life
and then eating it,
and eating it, you're taking it's just, but then once you start to really analyze it, it has a completely different meaning
right.
to you.
It's so deep. Like I was just thinking, you know, the dumpling is obviously it's like acting as her son, and she ends up eating it to like keep it as her own. And that kind of like symbolizes when you keep your child as like yours and don't let them like grow up, they're not living their own life anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's really deep.
It's like one of those, they say that good movies are the ones that make you continue to think about it after you leave the theater. And this is a short that does that.
For sure.
A great story that's told in a subtle way, and you kind of discover more and more about it as you continue to watch. So I can't really believe we're wrapping up episode 40.
Wow.
Speaking of passing of time.
Wow. Yeah, jeez.
But I think that's going to do it for this episode of the Disney Daydream Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it and that you'll join us for the next one. Remember, be kind to one another and take the time to find a magical moment in each and every day.